time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Band of Manitoba, obviously, and we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So why don't you do us all a favor, remind us what we're talking about this week?
Well, we're hearkening back to an adventure I had back in February when I visited Riding Mountain National Park with the invitation from two of my friends, Ray and Ken Kingdon. They knew of some obscure places in and around the park, and they thought they might interest me. Because, well, frankly, they involve abandonment. And, of course, anytime you talk abandonment, you've got my attention. So one of the sites they wanted to show me was a little building on the park's north border. So we snowshoed into the site, and I have to confess, yes, it was a nice little building. It looked to be abandoned. I had no idea what it was and how old it was. And so that's what's taken me until now to talk about it, because I just had to do the research. I had to figure out what exactly it was.
Tell us about the building.
Well, okay. So the building was fairly small, roughly, I would say, 15 feet by 15 feet, made of wood, and it was sitting on a concrete base. It had a very steeply pitched roof that had a chimney poking out of the roof. So I thought, okay, there's obviously then some kind of heat source inside. On one side of the building, there was a door. And when we were there, the door was wide open. So therefore, we could go inside, and we did. So inside, there were two large holes in the floor. And near those holes, there were what looked like four steering wheels, horizontal ones, and they were each mounted on the top of a vertical post. If we listened quietly, you could hear sort of a soft sound of slowly flowing water. And as I said before, there was at one time a heat source inside. There was the chimney inside. You could see there was probably a pipe that had connected to it. So maybe there was some kind of, you know, wood-burning stove of some sort. But it was gone. There was no sign of it. What was the building used for? Well, I wasn't altogether certain. I mean, I thought it had something to do with water, but I wasn't really sure. So after my visit, I emailed, you know, I did all sorts of research. I went to the library at the University of Manitoba. People shared their thoughts on what it might be. And little by little, I reconstructed what I think was the building's original purpose. I think it was a control structure for what I'm calling the Edwards Creek Reservoir that once supplied water to the city of Dauphin.
Very interesting so far. Edwards Creek, so that water flowing underneath the building, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, it turns out that wasn't the creek itself. The creek was a little bit to the east of this structure. But yes, it does factor into the story. So the reservoir that was right next to this little building, and if you just looked a little to the south of the building, there was a large depression.
Right.
There were no trees growing in it. The whole area was fairly heavily wooded, but there were no trees in this depression. And so that sort of looked like it was a reservoir, but that was to the west of Edwards Creek. And Edwards Creek flows out of the national park. It flows northward out of the park, and its source is Edwards Lake within the park. If anybody's driven along Highway 10, you've probably seen the sign that says Edwards Lake. Maybe you've even walked on one of the interpretive trails that goes up to the lake's edge. Both of those bodies, the Edwards Creek and the Edwards Lake, get their names from John Edwards. He was one of the first white settlers in the Dauphin area. He arrived in 1883, and he's said to have planted the first agricultural crop, a field of potatoes. By 1898, though, many more people had joined Mr. Edwards. Settlers had arrived and the community was developing. And in fact, it was developing on the banks of the Vermilion River, which is just a short distance to the north and west of Edwards Creek. Dauphin grew rapidly in those early days, and I think an indication of that is that just 3 years later, in 1901, Dauphin became an incorporated town. In other words, it had enough population that it warranted being incorporated. And of course, when you have a town, you need services. And I think one of the most pressing services that a community like that would need was a reliable source of water. So in 1909, the city fathers sent samples of local well water, as well as water from Edwards Creek, along with the Vermilion River, to Dr. Matthew Parker. And that's somebody who really resonated with me because I've studied the early history of the University of Manitoba and specifically the Faculty of Science. And I knew that Dr. Parker was, in fact, the first chemistry professor at the U of M. Well, he analyzed those water samples that the people from Dauphin had sent him, and he recommended Edwards Creek as having the best water for use in, well, a whole variety of things. You could drink it, you could use it to make steam, to make, you know, tractors move and other things, and of course you could clean with it. But, well, unfortunately it wasn't perfect. There were two problems.
Like what?
Okay, well, one is the Edwards Creek itself. Its flow is not constant through the years. As you might imagine, it will run abundantly in the spring after the snow melts, but then it, of course, dwindles through the summer, and sometimes these little creeks dry up completely. Well, that's not ideal if you want to have a reliable source of water. The second problem is that the creek tends to carry a lot of suspended sediment, and that's because of erosion of its banks as the water flows downhill from Riding Mountain. The solution, well, to both of these problems actually was to build that reservoir that I'd seen near the little building, and its purpose was to hold water so it could be released slowly over the years, and that, of course, would provide a more stable, reliable flow. The reservoir would also trap sediment, and of course, that would prevent muddy water from being delivered to Dauphin, and of course, nobody wants to turn on their tap and get a cup full of mud. So in 1910, the town purchased land on which to establish that reservoir. And of course, it was on the edge of what would later become the national park. It wasn't the national park at this point. That park didn't happen until 1933, a good 23 years later. But of course, they didn't actually dig a hole. I mean, my first thought is, boy, they would have a whole lot of digging to make that reservoir. But no, they simply, I think, used a natural depression in the landscape. And they didn't actually even have to use pumps to get the water to Dauphin because there was a natural elevation gradient. The reservoir was 230 feet higher than Dauphin itself. You know, wow. if you've ever driven from Dauphin into the park, you know that you're driving uphill all the way because, yeah, I know it's not a mountain by, say, Alberta standards, but, you know, by Manitoba standards, Riding Mountain is pretty high. And, of course, that means then that the water from the Edwards Lake, which then flowed into Edwards Creek, would flow naturally downhill and would get to that reservoir. But, of course, keep in mind, too, then, that this reservoir wasn't right next to Dauphin. It was, in fact, it was a good 9.5 miles from Dauphin. And you wouldn't really want to put the water back into the river and let it flow that way because, well, one, it wouldn't go into Dauphin because the Edwards Creek doesn't go into Dauphin. But also, it would pick up more mud along the way. And so you don't want to do that because you've just tried to keep it as clear as possible. So instead, they built a pipeline. And that pipeline began in 1911.
How did they do it?
Well, the construction site was overseen by a bunch of engineers from Toronto. I guess they had expertise in building waterworks. First thing was to clear the site of trees, get rid of all the trees where they were going to fill the depression with water, because, of course, if they did that, the trees would all die, and that wouldn't be good because then the trees would rot and that would make terrible water. Then they dug a ditch that was heading towards Dauphin so that they could bury the pipeline underground, because, of course, winter is cold here and you don't want to have a pipe sitting on the surface of the ground because it'll freeze. And this way, if you bury it deep enough, it will not freeze. The pipe itself, well, this was one of a big surprise for me because unlike the pipes we use today, which I think are mostly made of concrete, the first water delivery pipe to Dauphin was made of wood. Yeah, wood. And the idea was, if you ever think of a wooden barrel, you know, it's made of what they call staves. They're individual long pieces that they piece together to make a barrel. Well, imagine a long, narrow barrel with no ends on either end. And then you take two of those and stick them together and another one, another one, another one, another one. And before long, you've got a pipeline. So this is how they got the water to Dauphin, through a wooden pipe. And then when you get to Dauphin, well, they were busy around the same time, 1911, 1912, putting in trenches all over town so that they can now deliver this nice water to the homes and businesses. So by the time the project was completed in 1913, Dauphinites had a good, reliable water supply.
Was it enough that they would need in for the long term? Or?
Unfortunately, no. Oh. No, the engineers who had designed the original reservoir believed it would be adequate for a population of about 3,000 people. But if anybody knows Dauphin, you know that it grew rapidly through the early years. And in fact, it outgrew the original specification within a couple of decades. And in fact, today, the Dauphin's population is around 8,500 to 9,000. So considerably greater than the capacity of that reservoir. So as the demand for water outstripped the capacity of that original reservoir, well, they built a second one in 1936. Well, 10 years later, in the late 1940s, well, they needed more capacity yet again. So the original reservoir, the one from 1911-1912, it was replaced on the new, on the same site with a new, larger reservoir. But they still had the lingering problem about water in Edwards Creek being naturally high in sediment. As a result, the two reservoirs, typically the way they would operate them was they would fill them only when the Edwards Creek was, well, maybe medium flow to low flow, so they would get less mud in there. And they would definitely redirect the creek away from the reservoirs during periods of high flows. In other words, in the spring when there was lots of water and that would be a good time to get water, well, no, they typically didn't use that because that was more likely to have mud in it.
So how's Dauphin's water supplied these days?
Well, it's not from the Edwards Creek. Their main source of water is the Vermilion River, which incidentally also originates in Riding Mountain National Park. And a dam on the Vermilion was constructed by the PFRA, the Prairie Farm Rehabilitation Administration, in the late 1970s. And they also built a sophisticated sediment trapping system immediately south of Dauphin that would get rid of any mud that might get in through the erosion of the riverbed. So today, Edwards Creek is just a backup water supply for Dauphin when levels on the Vermilion River are low. And I would just point out, incidentally, that if anybody from Dauphin is listening, you know, of course, that the Vermilion River is not low right now. Mm. In fact, it's been a major disaster for Dauphin because it's overflown its banks and has flooded basements and closed the hospital, all kinds of other bad things. But going back to Edwards Creek, as far as I know, although they call it a backup to the Vermilion system, I don't know to what extent that's true, because I was told by one source that Edwards Creek was used to supply Dauphin in the 2010s. But other folks told me, oh, heck no, it hasn't been used in at least a couple of decades. And in fact, when I saw them, the control mechanisms that we that were on Edwards Lake that would control the outflow, well, I was told they're no longer operable, and I would believe that because it was basically just rubble laying there. So I don't think they can use Edwards Lake at all or Edwards Creek, and therefore they are pretty much entirely dependent now on Vermilion.
So let's get back to the beginning of today's segment when you talked about that little building. What did you find out about it?
Well, I could find no source that said definitively what the little building had been used for and when it was built. I was hoping, for example, I might find a picture. You know, maybe they'd taken a photo of it when they finished building it and were proud of it. But nope, no pictures, at least none that I could find yet. So based on what I've learned about the two reservoirs near Dauphin's present-day water treatment plant, if you're heading north on Highway 10, just as you leave Riding Mountain Park, look to your left to the west, and you'll see a sign for Dauphin's water treatment plant. Well, if you go down that road a little ways, you'll find the two reservoirs and this little building. I think it dates from the mid-1930s to that second reservoir. And as far as I can tell, it is abandoned because, as I say, all the equipment inside has been basically, well, unused in decades. And I think the reservoir is also not used because it was, I think, dry. I couldn't tell for sure because it was February, so there's snow on the ground. But it certainly didn't look like there was any water in it, at least not any appreciable amount. On the other hand, the reservoir to the north, the one from the late 1940s, which I think is on the site of the original reservoir from 1911, they do use that to store water. And the idea is that they take water from the Vermilion Reservoir and they pump it over to this reservoir, and there they treat it with the water treatment plant, and then they send it on to Dauphin. But Ken, thinking about that original system, I have my doubts as to whether they're still using those original wooden pipes from 1911. If nothing else, I have a feeling they just wouldn't fulfill modern conditions for health quality. You know, you just can't run water through a wooden pipe and expect the quality to be drinkable.
Especially 115-year-old wooden
pipes. Well, sure. I mean, wood does deteriorate with time. So I have to think they've probably replaced the wooden pipe with something more durable, like maybe concrete, maybe maybe iron of some kind, maybe even some kind of polymer. I just don't know. But, you know, one of the things that this story has really illustrated for me is that, you know, I didn't know very much about what it takes to deliver water, you know, on a reliable basis to Manitoba communities. And so I think this case, if nothing else, even if I don't have all the facts quite right yet, I think it's given me new appreciation for all of the engineering that goes into providing us with water. You know, we take for granted. We turn on the faucet and the water just flows. And
especially from 100 years ago.
Exactly. That yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Gordon. Very interesting. So what's coming up next week?
Well, this summer, I'm working on a new series of videos for the Manitoba Historical Society's YouTube channel, and they're all based on the theme of Manitoba's oldest buildings. Now, that sounds straightforward, right?
Yeah.
You just figure out the age of a bunch of buildings, you pick the earliest ones, and let the cameras roll. Except, as we're going to discuss next week, it's not quite that simple. This conversation is going to get philosophical, Bruce. Just bear with me. And we're going to talk about ships and carpenters. And so all will be revealed next week.
Ooh, some thinking involved. That's great. Thanks for that, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.